This past week, St. Paul's Hospital Foundation in Vancouver announced what it claims to be the largest private donation to a single medical facility in Canadian history. Any of you hear about this? Yeah, Jim Pattison. Jim Pattison donated $75 million for a huge new medical center that will be home to, and let me list them, the new St. Paul's Hospital, the Provincial Heart Center, the Center for Heart-Lung Innovation, the BC Center for Excellence in HIV/AIDS, as well as other research centers and clinics. $75 million. On the face of it, a radical, generous, and costly gift. Of course, if you know anything about Jim Pattison, you'll know that he's got pretty deep pockets. He presides over the Jim Pattison Group that has interests in just about everything in British Columbia. According to Forbes, his personal net worth is about $5.6 billion. So on reflection, call me cynical, but on reflection, that seemingly costly donation of $75 million is really only 1.3% of his accumulated resources. I mean, he could expect to earn more every year. 4% is sort of like our standard of expectation of growth of any savings, right? The gift, just to say, won't cramp his lifestyle. And that facility, named the Jim Pattison Medical Center, will make his business name even more ubiquitous across the province. When you consider the free publicity and the tax benefits, what first started looking like philanthropy, well, starts looking like a smart business deal. Money and its accumulation runs most of our lives. I mean, it directs our education. What job are you going to pursue? Well, look at the earnings. It determines our employment. It controls where we live. There's more opportunity over here. And it even governs how we give. It governs how we give. And it does so for good reasons. I mean, money provides for comfort, nice cars, and nice vacations. There are at least two new cars in the parking lot today. Neither Charlene nor myself will tell you who owns them. Money provides comfort, and money offers security. Having something extra tucked away will truly help you on a rainy day. But money doesn't buy everything. Studies show that once people are earning around $75,000 a year, making money has no impact, hear this again, no impact at all on their day-to-day feelings of happiness. Right? You meet your basic needs, and more money doesn't make you any more happier. Money can't buy everything. Steve Jobs, the former CEO of Apple, had twice the net worth of Pattison, and yet all that money couldn't save him from pancreatic cancer. Money can't save you from illness. It can't stop you from aging, though it may get you into a nicer suit. Now, we tend to think of money as being a positive good, or at least being neutral in nature, but if you read carefully the Gospel of Luke, you'll note that, well, money's not quite like that. There are real dangers associated with money. Money can be an enslaving idol. Wealth has power to estrange you from God. Don't believe me? Well, read the story of the rich young ruler. That's just a chapter previous to our reading today. Wealth has power that can alienate you from others. Not sure about that? Well, read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, or listen to last week's sermon podcast. Estrangement from God, alienation from others. Luke says you can't serve both God and money. It's like money takes on this dark life of its own. It's like money should come with a warning printed on it. Be careful. Well, so what does this mean for us? I mean, given that last week I argued that from a global perspective, we are all rich people. Not sure about this? Check out globalrichlist.com. What does this mean for us? Are we here in Kamloops in danger of being enslaved to money, of serving it and living under its power? How can we be free from its bondage? How can we enjoy its benefits? I mean, there are benefits, right? And yet avoid its toxic impacts. In today's gospel lesson, we encountered a man named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a man who knew well both the blessing and the cost of wealth. You see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, not just a regular tax collector, but the chief tax collector in Jericho, which means that he had purchased the Jericho tax franchise from the Roman government and then farmed it out to other agents who did the actual tax collecting. Together, they reaped huge commissions, getting rich off poor and wealthy alike. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, and he would have had all the benefits that this provided. A big house in the right neighborhood, the best food and finest clothes, vacations down in Egypt. But for Zacchaeus, this wealth came at a cost. Tax collectors were collaborators who worked with the nation's oppressors. And tax collectors had a well-earned reputation for charging, well, a little more than what was owed. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in Jericho. Zacchaeus was wealthy, and Zacchaeus was probably the most hated person in town. His money would certainly get him the best seat in the best restaurant, but he would never get an invitation into another person's home. Well, one day Jesus comes into town and Zacchaeus wants to see him. Maybe it's because Zacchaeus has heard of Jesus' healings. Maybe it's because he's intrigued by Jesus' teaching. Maybe it's because people were saying that Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Whatever the case, Zacchaeus is desperate to see Jesus, but the crowds have already gathered, and because he's short, he can't see over top of them. Because he's a tax collector, no one will give room or make way. And so he runs on ahead and climbs up a sycamore tree so he can watch as Jesus passes. Maybe catch a glimpse of the man, maybe hear some teaching, maybe even witness a healing. But when Jesus walks by, Jesus spots Zacchaeus up in the tree above him. Looking Zacchaeus in the eye, Jesus calls out to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." We acted this out for ourselves. I mean, no one can believe this. Boo! People are shocked at Jesus' announcement. Jesus should be dining with the president of the synagogue, not the city's most notorious crook. People are shocked at Jesus' announcement, and no one is more shocked than Zacchaeus. For the first time in his career, he will have a guest in his big old home, but not just any guest, Jesus. As he races down that tree, he can't believe what's happening. Jesus, at his house, spending time with him, having a meal. I mean, Zacchaeus would have spent most of his career eating by his lonesome. The thought of hosting anyone, let alone someone like Jesus, well, it just filled his heart with joy. And so he announces in the middle of the murmuring crowd, "Master, I give away half my income to the poor." And if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages. Without missing a beat, as if knowing this would happen, Jesus replies, "Today salvation is salvation day in this home. Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham." With a gracious invitation for fellowship, Jesus provides Zacchaeus with a gift that all his money could not purchase. For his part, Zacchaeus is ready for that invitation. He recognizes that time with Jesus is a blessing greater than his accumulated wealth. And as he grabs hold of Jesus' invitation, well, Zacchaeus is somehow free to let go of his money. He doesn't give away just what's extra, but half of what he's accumulated. And he couples that with a promise to provide generous restitution for anyone he's defrauded. Well, salvation has come to the home of Zacchaeus. And salvation has also come to Jericho. I mean, a man diminished by the burden of his wealth finally stands tall. Those who are poor are provided relief. Who knows? Maybe a new hospital. All who pay taxes can now expect justice from this man and those who work under him. Of course, he will have much less money, but that doesn't matter. What he's found is of greater worth and value than all that he's given away. So let me ask you this. Has the pursuit of money diminished you? I mean, the reading talks about Zacchaeus being small, right? A short man. Actually, the Greek is diminished. It may be less about his DNA and more about the public's view of him and how that's affected his soul. Has the pursuit of money diminished you? Has it eroded your relationships with God or with others? Later in the service, you will be handed a little piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. This is Jesus calling out to you by name, asking if he will make room in your house, in your life, for him. I mean, Jesus wants us all to take hold of life that is truly life. May we joyfully grab hold of this life and not worry about all we may be letting go of. Amen.